This is Jackson Peterson, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Humboldt, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have an update from Jamie Dickerman as well. The White House is giving automakers a one-month reprieve from the 25% tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico. The decision was made after President Trump spoke with representatives of the big three car companies. There's also potential for the administration to carve out exemptions for certain ag products. Earlier this week at Commodity Classic, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said everything is on the table.
The retaliation against U.S. agricultural products has begun. China adding 10% tariffs on a wide range of ag products, including soybeans, dairy, pork, and beef. A 15% tariff will begin on Monday on wheat, corn, and cotton. Canada has imposed a 25% tariff on a list of goods worth up to $30 billion. Wheat, barley, meat, dairy products are on that list. Mexico said it will retaliate, but hasn't released any details. China and Canada have also initiated a WTO dispute against U.S. tariffs.
As tariffs on ag goods do take effect, farmers bracing for potential long-term disruptions to global trade. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Jamie Dickerman has more.
Frayne Olson, a crop economist at North Dakota State University, emphasizing that the key factor to watch is how long the tariffs remain in place.
If the tariffs come on and they stay on for an extended period of time, now all of a sudden buyers and sellers start looking at alternative flows, right? They look at alternative systems or alternative supply chains that they have to go to be able to either get their products or sell their products. And once we start getting those longer-term fundamental changes, it becomes much harder to go back to the system we had before.
Olson warning that these changes could have lasting effects, forcing producers to adapt to a new normal in global trade. Soybean exports to China providing a clear example of these long-term changes.
Going before the trade war, China purchased percentage-wise, you know, give or take about 40% of their soybeans from the United States, about 60% from China. After the trade war, most recently now, that number has dropped, depending upon the exact time period, about 25 to 30%. Let's call it 30% for simple math, versus 70% from Brazil and other sources. Well, a couple things have happened. The volumes they bought from the United States have dropped slightly over the last several years. Their total consumption of soybeans continues to go up. Which means, kind of by definition, they're buying a larger percentage from Brazil.
Olson adding that this shift was already happening, but was accelerated by the trade war.
The futures market tends to be very quick to respond to these kinds of events because they're trying to look into the future and say, what is the value of this crop several months from now? Okay, so that was almost an immediate response. The thing that I'm watching for is what happens on the actual cash grain side. Do we start to see grain movement starting to shift? Do we start to see buying habits from different countries starting to adjust? You know, are we able to continue to sell product into the Mexican market or into the Chinese market, especially for the major grains like corn and soybeans and wheat?
Olson said while some effects are already visible, he expects clearer shifts in grain movement and trade patterns soon.
So it's not something that's going to happen immediately, but it will likely take a couple of weeks before we start noticing that. We start to see the supply chains and the actual shift in where the physical grain is being delivered to.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
South Dakota Farmers Union President Doug Somke says the potential impacts of tariffs are already being felt.
We've seen the local corn market here tumble almost 94 cents in the last 8 days of trading. Today is the first day that they're predicting that, they're showing us that it's going to be maybe an uptick. You know, that's huge. And all just because of talks of tariffs and not even to the response of what's going to happen from the tariffs.
Somke expressing concerns about how these policies could strain relationships with key trading partners.
There's a lot of unknowns here, and I don't know why we're picking on our neighbors at a time when farmers are not completely healed, you know, from the past.
A decision by the Merit Systems Protection Board is temporarily reinstating nearly 6,000 USDA employees Probationary USDA employees removed from their job on or after February 13th will be back on the job until April 18th, until a special counsel determines if the workforce reduction was done legally. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Tensions rising within the Beltway over the House Budget Reconciliation Plan, which calls for a cut of $230 billion from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Some House Republicans are concerned that a hit to SNAP benefits could torpedo a farm bill. National Association of Wheat Growers CEO Chandler Gould is not optimistic.
I think the only way that we get a farm bill this year is if it is in the reconciliation bill. And if the farm bill is in that bill, we will be used as a piggy bank. And you can probably kiss your PLC increases goodbye. I don't see how you expand crop insurance. I don't see how you expand cost share in the voluntary conservation programs. If we want a farm bill that's truly going to support farmers, it is going to have to be a standalone bill. And I just don't see where there's enough time on the calendar for this first session of this particular Congress.
A monthly survey of bank CEOs in 10 Midwestern states shows a rather dismal outlook. Creighton University economics professor Ernie Goss said that the February score fell to 38. That's on a 0 to 100 scale, where 50 is growth neutral.
The numbers were not good, falling below growth neutral for the 17th time in the past 18 months. Now, I have to say, though, that livestock doing much better than grain. In other words, if I separated out grain to livestock, particularly beef, doing much better, and I would probably put that number in positive territory, but the grain's definitely in the negative territory. Commodity prices in terms of grain, just too low, in fact, probably below break even for most of the farmers in our survey region.
Trade is the primary downward driver.
The value of the dollar is up pretty strong, and that makes our goods less competitively priced abroad. A global economic slowdown certainly not helping out there, and certainly a supply over, I would argue, an oversupply from some of our competitors, such as Brazil and Argentina, pushing down prices, or holding them down, I should say. Prices have improved a bit over the last month or two, but still not in a territory that makes the farmer feel good about what that farmer's making.
Full Circle Ag held their Ag Tech Summit yesterday in Britain, South Dakota. Vice President of Agronomy Justin Ronick is expecting more corn acres this spring.
I think the prices indicated that they're a little more committed to corn right now. I think Mother Nature gives them an opportunity to plant corn. They're going to plant corn. You're seeing that in our sales and our commitments on this on the seed side between the corn and the soybeans. So if they have a chance to plant a little more corn, I think they're going to. If not, they'll go back to their normal rotation.
And Ronick expecting decent soil conditions after a good run last fall.
And then we got a rain in October, so we ended up having a good run in October before we froze up. Got us a head start for spring. We always have a big spring. You got to have a big fall to have a big spring, so we're ready for that. And I think the soil conditions are below normal for moisture going into spring. But in this country, we're only 1-2 inch rain away from losing 20 to 25% of our acres, and we know that. So our growers are equipped, and they're ready to go when Mother Nature says it's time to plant. If the ground's fit, they'll get it in the ground.
Agricultural podcaster Rob Sharkey was featured in the Full Circle Ag Tech Summit. With winter meeting season coming to a close, Sharkey will now tune up his planter and prepare for the season ahead. The Illinois grain farmer said it will be hard to beat last year's crop.
My dad always said, you know, you're never going to have that perfect year of weather where everything goes right. Well, you know, dad sadly passed, but I wish he would have saw last year because it was absolutely perfect. And, of course, the yield showed it as well. So I know that wasn't widespread throughout the country. But, you know, every once in a while you have to enjoy when you get that blessing. So we're definitely thankful for last year.
National Wheat Foundation working to bridge the gap between policymakers and farmers as the 2025 growing season approaches. Ken Woods, a board member from Chapman, Kansas, and says one of the foundation key initiatives is the Wheat 101 program, which brings congressional staffers and USDA officials out to the field.
When we do the Wheat 101, it's a good chance to visit with folks that maybe don't have an ag background, and so we get a chance to interact with them, tell our story to them, and hear their stories too, because you know it's a different lifestyle when you're a hill staffer. Usually you're pretty young, and we feed everybody, and we have, you know, just have a good time.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Loveland Products, a subsidiary of Nutrien Ag Solutions, is rolling out its new nitrogen efficiency product, Infinity, just in time for the upcoming planting season. Ron Calhoun is Plant Nutrition Marketing Manager and shared the details at Commodity Classic, highlighting the product's innovative approach to nitrogen fixation.
That production product is on its way out to our Nutrien Ag Solutions network, into those retail stores, and that's pretty exciting. So just as a reminder, Infinity is a new biologically based nutrient or nitrogen management solution to help improve overall nitrogen use efficiency in your crop. And when I say biologically based, what we're doing there is we're using live isolates of nitrogen fixers to be able to apply to the soil, have them fixing atmospheric nitrogen that's in that soil pore space, also having exudates that are causing what we call like a signal response mechanism that would recruit additional nitrogen fixers to that root zone as well.
Calhoun noted the positive response from farmers, particularly regarding convenience.
Visiting with some folks across the South last week, I was surprised how much the message about the ease of use was the one that came to the top. You know, I tend to mention it second or third, and that was the one that kept coming back from growers of, oh man, this is a product I can use.
Infinity is now reaching the Nutrien Ag Solutions retail network.
One of the vendors at Full Circle Ag's Ag Tech Summit featured the My Ag Report app. My Ag Report's Morgan Holler says the app came about because of an agronomy need.
So it started in 2018 as dicamba started being in beans and having to start to get a better report system. And, you know, every booth I've been at, everybody goes, oh, I should probably start taking better records. They're going to start asking for that. And I'm like, they've been asking for it. You should be keeping your records. And that's kind of what one of our goals, I guess, too, is to always that coffee stain notebook that's smashed underneath your seat. Let's take that out and put that in your pocket.
My Ag Report is focused on spraying data.
Our primary thing is spraying reports. And I have a degree in agronomy. So having a great scouting app was probably the next feature I really was excited to add about. Because there wasn't a ton out there that I liked at the time. So we had a scouting, now we've got a planting, a harvest, a fertilizer, and then an invoicing app that you can use while you're spraying to keep track of your tender loads to know really how much you're putting down per acre.
Checking prices, Minneapolis wheat as we speak, the May contract 2.5 better at 590.5. Chicago wheat for May steady, and the hard red winter wheat May 558 a penny higher. May corn a quarter cent higher now, 456 even. New crop corn down 1.5. Soybeans are higher, 5.75 better for May at 10.17.5. November soybeans, 10.12.25, a gain of 2.75 cents. On the farm calendar, CHS Ag Services and CHS Northern Grain with their annual meeting at the Alaris Center today. Registration and their Ag Industry Day booths all open up at 10 o'clock this morning. And the National Farmers Union Convention beginning this weekend in Oklahoma City. Have yourself a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.